And take your Bibles and turn them to the book of Proverbs. I'm going to have some scripture on the screen. I'm going to have you look up some of the scripture. And some of it's not going to be on the screen. I'm going to quote it anyway to challenge you that way. And I don't have note sheets for you, so you have to use your own paper. But, you know, doing Proverbs is kind of like hooking up to a fire hydrant and coming in here and then trying to decide how far to pull back the lever to let loose on all the truth that God has there. Proverbs is full of God's wisdom, and he's got a lot of it. And even though there's only 31 chapters and it's not that much just sheer verbiage, there's an awful lot of content and intent there we need to get a grip on. And I hope that you're taking the time to read Proverbs and continue to read Proverbs, and we'll read it the rest of your life. Because the real goal here on the program of God is for his sons, his daughters, to be wise. Not just simply rule keepers, but people who know how to think his thoughts after him, who need to know how to follow his patterns. Now, when we are talking about making wise decisions, as I mentioned this morning, we usually think about individual decisions or choices. And this is where we get in trouble. Because if you lose track of the bigger picture of what kind of person God wants you to be and what he's trying to accomplish in your life, you will start making really foolish decisions with the veneer of spirituality to them. This is what happens, for example, when I was in youth ministry. I talked to, usually it was a girl, sometimes it was a guy. She said, I'm praying about whether to date this guy. You know, I said, believer. Well, I'm not really sure. That was my first tip, usually, of, you know, okay, I know where this is going. Well, he says, you know, is he living like a believer? Is he committed to Christ? Is he, if you go out with him, will he be challenging you to grow in Christ? Well, no. Well, here's the question. Are you seeking to grow in Christ? Are you seeking to be a godly person? Yes. Then why are you praying about dating this guy? Your larger purpose in life is going to be undercut by you even thinking about going this direction. You've lost track of what you're trying to do and what God's trying to do. You talk with a couple that wants to get married, and one of the questions I'll ask them is, who do you want to be? Who are you going to be 30 years from now? And a lot of times they look at me and say, what? Well, what are you going to be like? I don't know. Are you going to change in the next 30 years? I guess so. I hate to break it to you. You're going to, okay? You can't decide whether or not you can change in the next 30 years. The question is, what direction are you going to change? You are predestined by God to be conformed to the image of his Son. If in the next 30 years you're going to become more godly, are you marrying a person who's headed on that same trajectory, or are they going to be going a different direction while you're growing in grace and godliness? Your larger purpose is going to make your smaller decision a lot easier. And it's very important that we have that together, that wisdom is concerned with a lot more than any single choice or decision. There's a famous statement from Charles Reed, who was a 19th century author that you've heard before. I didn't know the source of it until I looked it up this week. But he said this, sow a thought and you reap an act. Sow an act and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny. Yes, the individual thoughts matter, but in a much larger context and construct of what kind of person are you becoming? What's the whole big picture that you're doing here? And to be truly wise, you've got to be concerned not only with individual choices, but the habit patterns that you're building into your life. We all have habit patterns. Let me ask you something. How many here are on a diet? Okay. We have, you know, about half a dozen honest people and a group of people who are either dishonest or do not know what a diet is. Because you know what a diet is? A diet's what you eat. That's all it is. It's what you eat. You see, everybody in this room is on a diet. Now, we're not in what we officially call a diet, and you pay outrageous amounts of money for a book that calls it a diet. But you're on a diet. And if we looked at the last 6 months of your life, we could see the foods that you eat regularly and how much you eat of them, and that is your diet. And you're committing slow motion suicide, most of you, by your diet. Write a book about that diet sometime and see how many people will buy it. Most of them will just, you know, take a look at it and then wait for you to keel over. You have a pattern and you have a program to your life. You're doing something with your life. You've got 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We all have that. And the one thing that we all have in common is that we spend it every week. You cannot save time. You can't stick it in a time bank someplace. It's going by. You're using it. And you're using it usually on the things that have become habits in accordance with your character. And they're shaping destiny. Proverbs recognizes this fact, and it deals with this aspect of wisdom in an extensive manner. And I'm going to try to kind of hook you up to this fire hydrant full of material and get you to write a bunch of it down, look up it later some of the more specifics. But there are four issues, I think, that are involved in a lifestyle, wise plans and purposes that takes this larger picture into view. Number one, as you got to understand, there is such a thing as a way, a manner or a pattern of life that is identifiable. What are your ways? Now, if you're a parent, understand this. Your children are not learning individual decisions from you, but they are learning and catching ways. They're catching your manner of life. They're catching the tenor of your life. They're catching the priority of your life. And the amazing thing is you don't have to do a blessed thing to teach this. They get it anyway. And you know when they really drive you up the wall? I'll tell you when they drive you up the wall the fastest is when they say or do something that sounds just like you. Right when you don't want to hear it. And you hear yourself coming back at you. And it drives you crazy. It's they're learning this. We all have this thing, and there are ways. For example, in Proverbs 2:20, it is written, so that you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. That you can walk in this way, down this avenue. That if we looked at the map of your life, we looked from someplace up above in the moral realm, that we would see a pattern and we'd see a direction in which you're headed with your life. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3, would you please? You have Proverbs open. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13. It says there, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. When you follow this way, this general direction, it keeps you out of a lot of stuff that you don't have a specific command from God for. I once knew of a situation where there was this financial opportunity that a lot of people lost a lot of money. And I talked to somebody who was involved and could very well have been involved. And I asked him, were you invited to be a part of this? And he says, yeah, I was invited to that. And I said, well, did you lose any money in it? He says, no. He says, I never got into that. That's not the way I live my life. It's great. He acknowledged that at the time, there's nothing he could point to that said that this financial situation was wrong. But it was out of character for him. And therefore, he didn't participate, and that guarded him from a loss that many other people experienced. You know, one of the basic rules of investing, if you're going to invest in Wall Street, is you should only invest in things you understand. Which kind of does away with derivatives, doesn't it? You should only invest in things you understand. You should invest in companies that you know what they do and what their market is. And, you know, if you're going to invest, you should understand what you're involved in. They should fit within your pattern. And when it does, you will find that your wise approach to life will protect you from many sorrows and make your life that much more pleasant. Proverbs 30:20 tells us, this is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I've done no wickedness. I haven't done anything wrong. You know, if you know somebody, you start to get close to them, and you suddenly realize that they will do wrong and tell everybody else that they're doing right in the same process, same time, run. They're in a pattern of life you do not want to be a part of. It's the direction's all wrong. You know, here's the thing. You got two people, and they go off and they do wrong, and they come back, and they lie to everybody here. We didn't do wrong, we did right. Well, where's the problem with that? There's a lot of problems with it, but one of the problems is this. The two of them can never trust each other again. Because what they know, that maybe nobody else knows, is that the other person in this twosome is a liar from both sides. And they can't trust each other. They can't trust each other. It's a huge issue in marriage. There is such a thing as a way, a manner, or a pattern of life that is identifiable, and we need to be concerned with that. What is the way of my life? If someone follows my ways, my patterns, what will be the outcome in their life? Secondly, our ways are developed by the choices that we make. That we make choices, and each choice kind of takes us down a different direction. I've told you before, years ago, ancient years ago, I first learned to go cross-country with nothing but a map and a compass. One of the first things you have to learn is this. If you are right-handed, you tend to go around obstacles to the right. There's one challenge. You never go all the way around an obstacle. You will go halfway around, three-quarters of the way around, whatever, but you never do. And as a consequence, if you're trying to follow a compass bearing, you will keep moving to the right as you're hiking. And eventually, your compass bearing is all wrong because you've been moving your reference point. And so you have to get your compass bearing and look way off in the distance, pick something on that bearing, and do whatever you have to do to get to that point. Then take a new bearing. It's the only way to stay on course. Well, much the same way here, we have to understand that I'm making choices not on the basis of what's happening right now, but where it's taking me over the long run. I think this is one of the biggest challenges of ministry, by the way. Christianity is a life that is lived in view of the long term, not the short term. But everybody in America today lives in view of the short term. I like to listen to WBBM. That shows I'm really old, I know. But at lunchtime, they have the noon money hour or something like business hour. And they said, think of it as lunch money. That's where money came from. But I like to listen to these guys pontificating about stock markets and real estate markets and everything else. It's really kind of fascinating to listen to. But there's something that I've noticed. Maybe you have, you know, maybe I'm just dreaming it. Everybody in the financial community tells you to invest for the long term. And every day at noon, they tell you what to do for the short term. Everything is about what's going to happen in the next 6 months. But then if you go to them and invest with them, they say, invest for the long term. But everything's about the next 6 months. That's the way mankind is. We are very, very, very short-term oriented. And God wants us to think about the fact that I am developing an entire life with the choices that I'm making right now. And so I need to understand, first of all, that choosing the wrong way is self-defeating. Every wrong choice I make not only has a problem with the results of that choice, but what it's building into my life. For example, Proverbs 1:31, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. God says, listen, I will make sure that you always, always have a ready banquet. It's a banquet of consequences. You will be full with all the stuff that your own choices have led to. Can't escape it. Proverbs 11:5, the righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. That's really frustrating. You know, sometimes we got to wake up and just say, you know what? It isn't that the whole world woke up this morning and conspired against me. Look at the choices that I made. Look what got me down in this situation in the first place. Proverbs 22:5-6, thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. If you make your way by deception, by lies, by everything else, you're going to find that your way just keeps getting harder. And as your way gets harder, you know what you'll do? You'll lie more, you'll deceive more, you'll do that kind of stuff. It just keeps getting worse. But he who guards his own soul will be far from them. Then notice what the next verse is. Train up a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, as parents, we've got to ask ourselves, am I training my children up in perversity and making their lives hard for them? by setting a pattern of deceit, by setting a pattern of wrong choices, by setting up a pattern that they're going to live into, and it's going to defeat them all by themselves. Satan doesn't even have to lift a finger. By the way, we always talk about Satan this, and everything else. Satan's alive, Satan's active, Satan's real. But you know what? He doesn't have to do a blessed thing in most of our lives. We're so busy killing ourselves, shooting ourselves in the foot, that all he's doing is laying in a hammock watching. He doesn't do anything. But instead, choosing the right way is self-preservation. Making right choices is self-preservation. Proverbs chapter 2, would you turn there, please, in verse 10. Proverbs 2 and verse 10. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths. It'll keep you from this. Just simply approaching life with God's wisdom. It keeps you out of all kinds of trouble that otherwise you would fall into. Go to chapter 3, verse 21. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. The pattern is self-preserving. The pattern is protective, just the way that you go. I get a kick out of you, dear beloved Hoosiers, when we go to Chicago. I grew up in Detroit. You just get this thing. You know where to go, where not to go. You're seeing a whole lot of other things. And walk down the street, and I'll be walking there with a nice, you know, small town, born and bred Hoosier, and they'll be looking, oh, is this safe? Yeah, it's okay. How do you know that? I just know. I know the way, okay? I can just see this street. This street's okay. And then you come around a corner, and I'm suddenly saying, oh, wait a minute, let's go to the next block. Why? I can't tell you. I just know this is a bad scene, okay? And if, what? I don't know. You learn these things, and they protect you. Now, unfortunately, if you grew up in the city, you learn them by getting beat up. But, you know, it's a little tough lesson there. But Proverbs 16:17, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who keeps his way preserves his soul. Proverbs 19:16, he who keeps the commandment keeps his soul, but he who is careless of his ways will die. Proverbs 28:10, whoever causes the upright to go astray in an evil way, he himself will fall into his own pit, but the blameless will inherit good. You see, there's a challenge here. On the one hand, there is the error of doing whatever. You'll continually fail. The other ditch is legalism. Taking the safe route and turning it into laws. The godly approach is here that says, you know, there's a whole raft of things that no one would ever stop me from doing. No one would ever judge me if I did them. But I'm still not doing them because I want to stay safe. And wisdom is saying, okay, I know where the cliff is, and I'm going to build my fence far enough back from the cliff that if I happen to sit on the fence and fall over, I'm not going over the cliff. I'm going to protect myself. And a lot of times, by the way, this requires that you know yourself. Do you know what you're tempted by that other people are not? Do you know what is a potential, or in my Sunday school class, we've been talking about this a lot, a potential addiction for you? Okay? It's all kinds of things. I once sat on a counseling thing where a guy was addicted to reading Puritan theology. The only way I could get addicted to that was to be if I had a really bad case of insomnia. That stuff knocks me out, you know, like nobody's business. But he couldn't put it down. He lost his job over it because instead of working, he was reading Puritan theology. He lost his family because he wasn't providing for them. He wasn't paying attention to them. He was just sitting over in his man cave reading Puritan theology and you know, doing all this stuff. Is Puritan theology bad? No, it's good stuff. But that's his thing. What's yours? What's yours? But you see, the thing is that everyone must choose in the end. Everybody has to make choices. I think we're on the next one, Ryan. There we go. You see, choose wrong is self-defeating. Choosing right is self-preservation. But you don't have the choice not to choose. Not choosing is also a choice. You've got to do it. You can't be a tumbleweed. You can't be driftwood. Proverbs 4:26 says, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Have you stopped to think, by the way, any time recently, do you ever stop and say, what new habits am I forming that are not helping me be what God wants me to be? What new habits? What new habits am I forming on the internet? What new habits am I forming in my television watching? What new habits am I forming in my eating patterns? What new habits am I forming? Think about your ways, the choices you're making. Proverbs 4:14, do not enter into the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of evil. Proverbs 6:6, I love this one, go to the ant. You ever seen the size of an ant's head? How big do you think his brain is? Consider her ways and be wise. So here's a question for you. Do you save for the future? Do you save for the difficult times to come? You say, well, I don't know, how much am I supposed to save? Listen, if you've got the brain of a bug, you'll save something. Okay? It's not a legalistic thing that I'm supposed to save 10% or 15% or 5%. The thing is, all you have to do is have the brain of a bug and you'll save something for the future. Okay? That's a habit pattern. And I don't care if it's you start with $5 or a week or a month or a year. But you learn to save toward the future. That's a pattern. That's a habit. That is a way, a manner of life. And that will protect you in the long run. So such a thing as a way, and there are ways that are developed by the choices we make. And third, then the pattern of the choices that we make will define your life. The pattern of the choices determines your life experiences. See, a lot of people say, I don't know why the same things keep happening to me over and over and over again. I'll tell you why. It's because of your manner of life. It is the way that you approach life that keeps putting you in the same problems, the same situations, the same frustrations over and over and over again. It's not that life is cyclical, it's that you're stuck in a spin cycle. That's the great thing. I don't know if you've watched, it's in our library now, but a couple summers ago, we showed the video series from the Egerich's. It's called Love and Respect. And they talk about the crazy cycle. They talk about husbands and wives that get into this on a regular basis, and they talk about the patterns of life and the attitudes and everything else that put them in that situation. And they tell you, they say, nobody gets married saying, on a regular basis, I want to be totally fed up with you in a continuous bickering mode until we can't stand it anymore, we stay apart for a while, then we come back and try and get along together. Nobody ever plans that when they get married. But when they follow certain patterns, when wives follow a pattern that when they're disappointed by their husbands, they treat them with disrespect. When husbands follow a pattern that when they're disappointed with their wives, they treat them in an unloving manner. He says, you're going to continually step into this crazy cycle and start spinning around and around, out of control and that, and you're going to say, how do we ever get here? It wasn't Satan. It certainly wasn't God. It wasn't the world. It wasn't television. It wasn't everything else. It was your approach to life that put you there. So we need to understand this process that goes on that determines our life experience. First of all, understand this, that God blesses the right choices. Proverbs 2:8, he guards the path of justice and he preserves the way of his saints. Your life will be better than it would be otherwise as long as when you honor God. It's that simple. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It doesn't mean nothing bad's ever going to happen. It's just going to be better than it would have been. Proverbs 5:21, For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. God's thinking about your paths. Why aren't you? And wisdom says in Proverbs 8:32, now therefore listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. It really is better in the long run. Proverbs 11:20, those who are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in their ways are his delight. Well, it's a whole lot better when you have confidence that God says, hey, that's good. I like that. Proverbs 15:9-10, the way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who follows righteousness. Harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way, and he who hates correction will die. That doesn't sound very attractive, does it? Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. God's at work. You know, sometimes when people are ticked off at us and people are treating us badly, the biggest thing we got to do is get our hearts right with God. And then let God take care of that, because we don't have any control over that. And God says, no, I'm using this in your life. You know, that's the role, by the way, critics have in our lives. Sometimes we're going along and we feel like we've really come a long way in the things of God. And we're walking along and we're at a much higher level than we used to be. And then a critic comes into our life and starts criticizing us for the place that we come short. And we want to look at him and say, you don't understand, I have come so far. And the critic may even be wrong. They may even be inaccurate in their criticism. But what's God doing? God's saying, great, you've come that far. Let me bring somebody in your life that will hopefully prompt you to look to where you still need to go. Because however far you've come, Christ is up there, and I predestined you to be conformed to the image of my Son. This critic is my tool in your life to get you thinking at Jesus and how far you need to go yet. Your pattern is taking you so far. Now let's perfect it. Let's take it even farther. And God says, I'll bless that. I will honor that. I will use that. You say, but it doesn't always work out nicely. No, it doesn't, because the world hates the right choices. The world hates the right choices, and it hates the people who make them. Okay? You are a rebuke to the world. Have you read the New Testament? Not as the Holy Spirit convict, but you are a living rebuke to the world as you live godly in this age. Proverbs 29:27, an unjust man is an abomination to the righteous, and he who is upright in his way is an abomination to the wicked. Yeah, you look at some of these people, and you see, you know, total jerks, and I won't name anybody tonight, but you kind of go, guess what? They feel the same way about you. Okay, so if you're looking for the approval of this world, you're going to get sidetracked. It's got to be God's approval. It's the only thing that really matters in the end. For your pattern of choices defines your life. Fourth thing tonight, last one. But it's long, so I'll make up for being last early. We need skill in identifying the right ways. You say, tell me about it. Yes, you need to start developing a checklist. When do I know I'm going the right way? When do I know I'm going the wrong way? And I'm going to give you a whole bunch of them here from Proverbs. Write these down. Go back and look at them later. First of all, what are the characteristics of the wrong way? And the first characteristic is greed. Okay? I just saw an advertisement. They're making a sequel to the movie, I think, Wall Street, where Douglas, I can't remember what is, for not Kirk Douglas, his son, Michael Douglas, had that famous speech, greed is good. You know what? If greed makes you fabulously wealthy, gives you mansions and everything else, it's still not good. Because God's the God of eternity. And God is the one who judges. And it doesn't matter what Hollywood says, greed isn't good. And when you look at Proverbs 1:19, it says, so are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. That's the parallel to the New Testament when it says, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And people who have pursued it have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That's never the right direction. Somebody says, well, I want to be successful, I want to advance in life. Is that wrong? No. But if you want it for me, forget it. You got the wrong priority. This greed so that I can have more, so that I can have these things. Another characteristic of the wrong way is oppression. When you have to put somebody else down to get yourself up, you're in the wrong direction. Proverbs 3:31, do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways. If you're heading this direction that you got to tear somebody else down to put you up, you're in the wrong place. In fact, in Scripture, especially if you look at Jesus Christ, he put himself down in order to lift others up. Completely different approach to life. What else is characteristic of the wrong way? Unforeseen failure. Proverbs 4:19, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Why do I keep stumbling over the same things? Hey, let's take a good hard look at the way you approach life. You probably built some self-destructive things into your life. That's why you keep going over the same stumbling points. It is not the right way when you are unstable and inconsistent. Proverbs 5, 5-8, her feet go down to death, her steps lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder her path of life, her ways are unstable. Speaking of the adulteress, you do not know them. Therefore hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house. You know, it's interesting, I get different comments, but some of the most spot-on comments and the highest volume of comments I think I've ever gotten from any message was when I was dealing with Jacob blessing his 12 sons at the end of his life. And he turned to two of them and said, as unstable as water, you will not prosper. I got phone calls about that all week long. Lord, that's me. Pastor, that's me. I struggle with this instability. And God says, yeah. You know what? That's got to be a passion in your life to stabilize and not look for this new huge super experience. And then a lot of times you get rid of the super failures at the same time. Through my teen years, I had these huge fly-ups of spirituality and these huge crashes down. And when I came back to the Lord in college, one of my prayers was simply this, Lord, I don't expect to get there tomorrow. But I'm tired of the roller coaster. Please help me to just steadily grow in grace. To steadily improve. To keep going up. See, all too often we've taught people to look for the big, exciting. Hey, sanctification in the Bible is a long, involved, hard-fought, costly battle. Not an instant zap you and now you're perfect kind of thing. Instability is the wrong way. Pride and arrogance. You know, I've had these conversations. I know that we use the word pride innocently. I think that most of the time we talk about we're proud of this or proud of that. We mean we're pleased. We're pleased that we were able to do something or this worked out or a family member did something or whatever else. But understand this, that in God's wisdom, the concept of pride is a toxic concept. It's a toxic concept. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Proverbs 21:2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. Doesn't matter if you're proud of what you're doing, if God says this, you should be ashamed. Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. Do you know one of the number one ways that pride comes out in the Christian realm? Is people saying, well, I just do what seems right to me. Well, aren't you special? Have you supplanted Scripture? Have you supplanted the Holy... Or have you got them all mastered? Hey, listen, that's pride. That's the wrong direction. Deceit. Proverbs 14:8, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. You don't understand your way if you use deception. I had a guy that I counted as a friend that ended up getting canned from his ministry because they called an insurance company and he destroyed some things and told the insurance company that it was an accident. This is the head of a Christian ministry. He deserved to lose his role. he deserved to lose his role. We don't use that method. It's a wrong way. You don't play that game. I had a nephew one time that was so pleased. Very anti-contemporary Christian music. So what do? He ran the sound system in his church, and he opened up the cassette deck, because that's where most of the tape backgrounds were done then, and he cut the leads to the input and then put it back on and told everybody it was broken. And he told me about that, about how smart he was. If you think I come down hard on somebody around here, you got to see it when it's a member of my family. And I said, I need to talk to you. That is one of the most ungodly things I've ever heard anybody do. You are a liar. And you are not honoring God when you do that. Yeah, but this music is... I don't care. That's not God's way. Here's another one. Laziness. Proverbs 15:19, the way of a lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway. Your life is a lot better when you work than when you don't. Okay? You make your goal to do as little as possible. You just make your life that much harder. Manipulation. Proverbs 16:29, a violent man entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good. Don't use that enticement. Don't try to manipulate people. Injustice, being unjust. Proverbs 17:23 is the wrong way. A wicked man who accepts a bribe behind the back to pervert the ways of justice. It's challenging. Sometimes it seems really sweet. Get a good deal. All you have to do is shade the truth. That's not God's way. And probably one of the great ways to tell you're going the wrong direction is when you think you're justified in being bitter against God. Proverbs 19:3, the foolishness of a man twists his way and his heart frets against the Lord. Did you hear that? The foolishness of a man twists his way and then his heart frets against the Lord. I've been an idiot. God didn't bail me out. God's bad. Hey, we do that. We play that game. And God says, that's not the way you want to live your life. Take a look at the decisions you made. Look at the ways that you handled things. See the things that you did that were foolish and to own up to it. If we confess, if we say the same thing as God does about our sins, He's faithful and just, forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't fret against God when you've been an idiot. Now let's turn positive, okay? The characteristics of the right way. Number one, this is going to shock you. You're not going to believe this one. The characteristics of the right way first is wisdom. You knew that was coming, didn't you? Proverbs 4:11-12, father to a son, I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Just plain wisdom. You can't ever give somebody enough rules to live a godly, biblical life. You got to teach them wisdom. Number two, characteristic of the right way is that you're teachable. That you're teachable. I wonder... Are you working at learning? Or is it just something you do against your own will? It's really hard. I mean, all the way through school, we got all this stuff. We're trying to get kids to learn, and kids don't want to learn. They don't want to be in school. They don't want to do homework. They don't want to do anything. They don't want to learn. Fools. But you know what? You know where they're learning it? A lot of times they're learning in the home of parents who don't read, who don't study, who aren't growing, who aren't curious, who aren't pursuing, who are not trying to improve and grow and everything else. They learned the pattern at home. Teachable spirit. Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. It seems right to me, but I need to examine it. I need to think more about that. Proverbs 16:25, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Think God's trying to get something across? The more sure that you are that you can do something on a knee-jerk reaction, the more likely it is you need to take a real careful look at that and think it through. Make sure your assumptions are biblical. Make sure you really know what you're talking about. Teachable. Just and righteous. Proverbs 8:20. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice. There's a way of righteousness. The way of just doing right. Proverbs 21:8, the way of a guilty man is perverse, but as for the pure, his work is right. The wisdom that comes from above, according to James, is first what? Anybody know? Ooh, maybe we have to do James next. Pastor Ryan's been doing James. A teenager ought to know this. James chapter 3. Have you gotten James chapter 3? The wisdom that is from above is first. Oh my. Are we ever foolish around here? Is first pure. Is first pure. You know, you get a situation and you're not quite sure what to do. Take a look around and figure out what the most pure thing you can do is, and you're probably on the right path. You're probably right in the center of the way that you ought to be going. That's where it starts. It is, the right way is thoughtful, not foolish. Why, Christians don't spend enough time thinking, you know? Let's get our brains in gear. Proverbs 9:6, forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. If something is absolutely stupid, you really don't have to pray about whether it's God's will or not. It's not. Okay, Proverbs 21:29. A wicked man hardens his face, but as for the upright, he establishes his way. What's that one talking about? Here's what it means. The wicked one says, I'm just going to do it. I decided, and I'm going to do it. The righteous man says, how do I build the firmest foundation? How do I make the smoothest road? How do I establish my way in the things that are righteousness? And I'm willing to change anything to have that happen. Everything's on the table for me to build a solid life before God. Building upon that, right way is integrity, the way of integrity. That you're consistent in private and in public, in thought and in speech. You're consistent in the things that you do in relationships. Proverbs 10:9, he who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. Out of that integrity, we are life-giving. And our way is life-giving. Proverbs 12:28, in the way of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. The person who Christ has changed, by the way, and who walks in the Spirit, Christ gave this great picture. He says, out of his belly will flow what? Rivers of living water, rivers of life. And I love that picture because it's not, you know, we kind of think that every once in a while a little drop will fall out. And he says, no, it's going to be a torrent. We're life-giving. How are we building up other people? How are we drawing them to Christ, building them out in the faith, helping them learn God's kind of life? The way that is right is based on understanding. We got to understand how things work and how people think and everything else. We got to become listeners. Proverbs 13:15. Good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. The right way is planned. It's planned. Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Now, please keep that together. You're supposed to plan, and then you believe that God sovereignly is going to direct actual outcome of your plans. But you still plan. It's not presumptuous to plan. What's presumptuous is to say, I can plan in such a way that I can determine how this will come out. Instead, I just make solid plans and I trust God for the actual outcome. Proverbs 23:19, hear my son and be wise. Guide your heart in the way. Do it on purpose. Live on purpose. This next week, I challenge you to think about and maybe keep a record of how many times you spend money after you've thought about it, how many times you just do it. How many times you say something after you've thought about it, and how many times you just blurt. Okay? The way, the pattern of life that God wants is planned. And then finally, God's pattern is learned. Proverbs 23:26, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. You watch, I'll show you how to live the way that is pleasing to God. Not just the rules that you have to keep. I will show you how to walk with God. And men, not enough of us fathers have taken that responsibility on. You can feel like a real failure in this very often. I understand that, believe me. But at some point, we got to stop and just say, can I look at my son and say, follow my pattern and you will honor God? That is the challenge before us as men. Folks, there is such a thing as a way, a manner or pattern of life that it can be identified. Our ways are developed by the choices we make. Our pattern of choices defines our life. And we need the skill to identify the right ways and reject the wrong ways. And we learn it through the Word of God. What's the pattern of your life? I guarantee you it needs to change. It always will. You'll be making course corrections all through your life. But if you'll take the compass of God's Word, you'll look that it's pointing at Jesus Christ. And it's pointing at Jesus Christ at the finish line. And keep your focus on that. And you'll go around obstacles, you'll do all these things, but you keep your focus there, your path will get truer and truer and truer onto Him as you walk through this world. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for the fact that we're not in a legalistic environment of just simply rules and regulations. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We were made in your image. We've been recreated to be conformed to the image of your Son. And we're learning new ways, new patterns, new approaches to life. And by your grace and through your power, we can change in any given area. And the more that we get settled into that change, the more it becomes natural to live in a certain way, the more heartache we escape, the more benefit we spread to other people, the better our lives are, not only in experience, but in quality and in impact. Father, may we pay careful attention to our ways in the days ahead. And when we see that we have become more and more focused on the center of your will and ways, that we give you the praise, because only you can do it. We pray for this in Christ Jesus' precious name. Amen.